Today, July 11th, is the Feast of St. Benedict, founder of Western monasticism, a way of life which still exists today around the world and in many exciting adaptations. So to all of you, monks, sisters, oblates, and people named Benedict, and to you who love the liturgy and might be called, in the words of Father Larry Madden, closet Benedictines, happy feast day! On a different note, if you have ever been to the University of Scranton campus, you have seen the sculpture which I offer you today. It looms over a valley and seems to be in motion. It is, of course, Jacob struggling with the angel. Or is the angel struggling with Jacob? Is it a metaphor for higher education? Perhaps. Hopefully not. But it is clearly a powerful metaphor for the spiritual life. Many scholars call it a mysterious story, multidimensional, with many sources and many meanings. As one scholar wrote, it is as enigmatic as the Mona Lisa. It is not clear who some man is with whom Jacob struggles, or indeed who the winner is. Jacob shares his name and then asks for and receives the mysterious stranger's blessing in the form of a new name, Israel. The stranger refuses to share his name, and Jacob, now Israel, intuits that he has struggled with God and lived. Jacob, now wounded, has a new name and a new life. The story, though mysterious and enigmatic, might tell us several things. First, in the struggle with God, or the struggle with faith, and who has not had at least one, there is always an invitation and always a grace, although admittedly it is sometimes difficult to see. In the biblical culture, Jacob, by sharing his name and receiving a new one, gives the one who has named him power over him. We know this from the early chapters of Genesis, where God gives Adam the power to name the animals and thus to have power over them. And like Jacob, who trusted, it is by engaging in the struggle of following Jesus, and it is sometimes in our world today a struggle, that we are called to trust. And thus we, like Jacob, are truly transformed, as Jacob was transformed into Israel and eventually a great nation, as God promised. Just so we can be transformed into true followers of Jesus. Second, we carry our wounds from the struggle, just as Jacob did. Jesus rose with his wounds. Ignatius carried the scars of his wounds as he limped for the remainder of his life. We carry wounds from our struggles in faith, but just as Jesus' wounds were glorified, so our wounds, like Jacob's, can be transformed by grace. When we accept the invitation, the grace is always given. On a practical level, this is why what we chaplains call life review is so important. As we, or you as friend or family, accompany a person moving toward the end of life, the ultimate transformation, it is a grace-filled process to review the struggles of faith and the graces therein. At the end of a retreat, we engage in a process we call gathering the graces. To do this for a lifetime of faith, reviewing the struggles and the graces, is an invitation to a Eucharist all its own. Once in the intensive care unit of the hospital, I invited Buddhist monks to accompany a dying Buddhist patient. They chanted around his bed. When I asked them what they had chanted, they told me it was the history of the patient's good deeds. Today we are surrounded by struggles, and the invitation to engage with them in faith is always here. There is the struggle against systemic racism, the oppressive patriarchy of both society and the institutional church, against all the actions and habits we each have, which are continuing to and contributing to the destruction of our common home. Yet in those struggles, we can experience grace. We can, like Jacob, see the face of God in our sisters and brothers. And so, also like Jacob, we can be transformed and have the courage and the faith to go on. In the words of the author George Bernanos, grace is everywhere.